Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. The word of the Lord says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so this message come through prayer yesterday was prepared to do something else. And as I prayed, God began to impress this in my spirit. And so I want to preach to you this morning. From something also inspired from Sister Sheck Snyder. And I titled this morning, hashtag God's Got This. God's Got This. Amen. One more time, let's reach out, let's pray, let's trust in Him this morning. Can you lift your voice and call upon the name of the Lord? Precious God, we thank you. We're here today because we love you, because we've learned to trust under the shadow of your wings. We thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just go ahead and get comfortable there, Brother Marks. Yeah, just scatter them up here around the front of this pulpit. There you go. So I'm preaching today about trust. I'm not preaching about CERTA, not preaching about Sealy, Posturepedic, not preaching about none of that. So don't let your mind wander off into the clouds. The book of Psalms is filled with the word trust 50 some times and contains the most references to the word trust than any other book of the Bible. The prophets, when you would consider Isaiah throughout the rest of Scripture into Malachi, you'll find about 33 mentions of trust. And oddly enough, the word trust itself really doesn't even show up on the scene until you get into the book of Judges and Ruth. Psalms, it's got verses we have heard oftentimes, like Psalms 20, verse 7, where it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalms 56 and 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Psalms 118 and verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." In other words, I'd rather trust in the God I can't see than a government I can see. Psalms 125 and 1, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Talking about the permanency of trust. They that trust in the Lord are going to be like that immovable Mount Zion. In Psalms 9 and 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Does anybody know that the name of the Lord, it is a strong tower, and that the righteous, they run into it and they are saved. We don't serve a nameless God this morning. It's not some bland, generic form of worship we have today, but we worship the only one true living God, and His name is Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus and Him alone. Hallelujah. 134 times that word trust is going to appear in your Bible. And the word trust means to seek refuge. And so when you find in Psalms the word trust connected to a place of refuge, or connected to a place of comfort or solace or a place of confidence, it's because that word trust is connected highly to it. To trust means to seek refuge, to flee for protection, to confide or hope in. To trust means to be confident or sure. It means to be bold, to be confident, secure, sure, or careless. Careless. It doesn't mean you don't care about anything, but it means you don't let your cares wear you out and weigh you down. One more definition would say that the word trust, it conjures up the image of to throw oneself or one's cares on anyone. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger. Now ride with me just a minute this morning. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Everybody catch the picture. Verse 5 and verse 6. It's talking about humility. Humble yourselves and He will exalt you. If you ever want to be exalted, you first have to be humbled before the Lord. Because exaltation by God only follows humility. But hear it, what the scripture is saying. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Why did the Apostle Peter talk about humility? Because if you're not humble enough, you won't cast your care upon Him. You'll have pride and say, I can do it without Him. I'm all right by myself. But the Lord is just looking for someone that'll be humble enough that says, I need you, Jesus. I want to trust in you. I will cast my care on you. I will take it off my back and put it on yours. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This is the Apostle Peter writing to the church at large. He does not write that God cares for me, and that we could read it and then begin to think that God only cared about those first chosen 12 apostles. But He careth for you. He careth for you. Someone needs to say, He cares about me. The word careth there, it literally does mean to care or to be concerned with. It means you matter to Him. The next time hell begins to play tricks with your mind and you begin to ask questions, does God know where I'm at? Does God know what I'm going through? You just need to start casting your care on Him, because yes, He does know where you're at. Yes, He does know what you're going through. Yes, you do matter to God. Hallelujah. You find you're supposed to cast all your care on Him. And then there's the warning, verse 8, we're all familiar with, where we are to be sober and to be vigilant, because there is an adversary called the devil. He's as this roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist fast in the faith. The only way you can resist steadfast in the faith is you first cast all your cares on Him in faith. You don't have enough strength to hold all your cares and resist the devil. But if you'll cast your cares on the Lord, you'll have enough strength. You'll have enough power. You'll have enough energy. You'll have enough get up and go to resist the devil steadfast. Then he also throws this line in there. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, take comfort. You're not alone in this. Relax. Relax. There's other people. There's other believers. There's other born again believers that are going through something as well. Take comfort in knowing you are not going through this journey alone, but Jesus is going through the journey with you. Is anybody thankful this morning that you're not alone, but Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. Proverbs 3 and 5. Don't forget about Mark 4. We're just letting them toss around in the boat for a little while. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know what the word lean there means? It means lean. It means trust. It means rely. But it means lean. Stand up for me, brother. It means to lean. Now, he's a bigger man than I. He's stronger than I. And I can put weight on him that he can't put on me. Aren't you thankful Jesus is stronger than you are? I can lean on him when I get weak and I get weary. I can lean on him. I can hold on to him, and his strength can help me get me through. But understand the context of the trust and the leaning. It's directed about your own understanding. What do you understand? Well, I understand a lot of things. 2 + 2 = 4. Don't touch hot metal objects. Don't run red lights. I understand a lot of things. But let me show you my understanding. It's all right there in my hand. Can you see it? Can you see my understanding? If you can see my understanding, you need to get your vision checked. There ain't nothing in my hand. I can't see understanding. It's invisible. It's like it's not even there. And I think that's some of what Scripture is trying to help us capture, in that you can't see your understanding and you can't touch your understanding. So when you go to lean on your own understanding, you're leaning on nothing. And when you lean on your own understanding, you're about to fall. Anybody went to lean against a wall that wasn't where you thought it was, or a chair, and you done fell over? That's what happens when you lean on your own understanding. But if you will start to lean on him. I remember the old song that used to go, I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you. When I don't know just what to do, I got the faith you're gonna see me through to supply my every need. I lean on you. So I ask you this morning, which direction are you leaning? Are you leaning on Jesus, or are you leaning on your own understanding? Hey, God didn't ask us to understand. God just asked us to lean on him. God just asked us to trust in him. I may not know all the whys and the whats and the hows and the whos, but I know Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't trust in fire insurance. They trusted in God. Job didn't trust in the circumstances. He trusted in God. Esther didn't trust in her good looks. She trusted in God. Ruth didn't trust in her family. She trusted in God. Abraham didn't trust in the facts. He trusted in God. Rahab didn't trust in a reward for turning in spies. She trusted in God. Noah, he didn't trust the majority nor the weather report. He trusted in God. I'm thankful Moses didn't trust in his own knowledge he gained in Egypt, but Moses, he trusted in God. Sometimes, somehow, Samson stopped trusting in his own strength and started trusting in God. David, he didn't trust in his own abilities, but he trusted in God. I'm trying to preach to you this morning. It's time for you to start trusting in God. It's time for you to trust in the name of the Lord. David didn't trust in a slingshot. He didn't go to a fight without a sword saying, what am I going to do? He understood that the Lord will provide everything I need. When he reached down into a bag, he wasn't reaching for a rock. He was reaching for the Ancient of Days. He was reaching for a stone the builders rejected. He was reaching for the Rock of Ages. He said, I'm going to attack you in the name of the Lord. He wasn't hoping the rock did its job. He was believing that God was going to do his. 2 Samuel 22 and 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of the song in the day that the Lord had delivered him. He delivered him out of all the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Finally, David has a place of rest. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from the violence, and I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now watch verse 30. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now, there may be times it feels like you've been ran over by a troop. And there may be times it felt like you've been smacked by a wall. But David said, I have run through a troop. I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. A buckler wasn't just a small shield. A buckler covered your whole body. A buckler was something that went before you that no matter what came your way, it was going to stop it from getting to you first. He said he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Is there anybody that trusts in the Lord this morning? If you do, you've got a promise from God that he is going to protect. He is going to block. He is going to take care of everything before it gets to you. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. You got feet like a deer. You got feet like a goat. You got feet like a mountain animal. It doesn't matter how rocky the path may get. God's given you extra special feet to travel through the terrain you're facing. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody in the house of the Lord this morning that could just wave a hand and said, I've been through some rocky places in my walk with God, and my feet never slipped out from underneath me. I've been through some trying places with God, but there was a sureness in my step that I know the world doesn't understand and never will unless it gets born again of water and spirit. 35, he teacheth my hands up to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. whatever size of shoe you wear in the natural. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got bigger shoes than that in the spiritual. You may walk in size 9s, but you're walking around in size 15s or 20s in the spirit. It may seem like you don't have what it takes to get to where you're going, but if Jesus sent you, honey, you're walking with the word that cannot fail. I'm helping someone this morning try to understand. I don't trust in something that makes it harder for me to stand, but I'm trusting in God who makes it harder for me to fall. He's given me bigger feet. He's given me hinds feet. He's become my buckler. He's become my shield. Proverbs 29 and 25. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isaiah 26 and 4 says, trusting the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hashtag God's got this. Now, tomorrow, and forever. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. His strength isn't just good enough for now, but not tomorrow. His strength wasn't good enough for yesterday, but not today. It's an everlasting strength. Yesterday, today, and forever is the kind of God we serve. I got to get to my text because some of you are waiting for these pillows to get into the message. Some of you are wishing you had a pillow right now so you could lay down on top of it. You know, our text we read in Mark chapter 4. It's strange that as we read through that, you stop and consider that we are so good at trusting the Lord for our salvation. We're so good at trusting God for the eternal, but yet we have trouble trusting God for the temporal. We can believe God for 6 bajillion years of our future. Bajillion probably is not a number. But we can believe God for 6 bajillion years of our future, but there are times where we can't trust God for the next 6 minutes of our life, the next 6 days of our life, the next 60 years of our life, but we have hope and trust in Him for eternal things. Why can we not trust in Him for a little 6-mile journey from one side of the sea to the other? Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. God is not a long ways off. God is not far, far out there somewhere, but He's a very present help in time of trouble. I've got good news for you. If you're in trouble, Jesus is in the trouble too. I'm preaching better than some of you responding this morning. I'm going to buy my own tape and listen to it later because it's helping me. If you're in trouble, the Bible says He's a very present help in trouble. Just because you're in trouble doesn't mean Jesus can't get in it too. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Here you go, sailors on the boat. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, it doesn't matter. If I'm on dry land, if I'm on wet water, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm in trouble, I can rest assured I've got a God who is my refuge and my strength. Quit believing it's your strength that's getting you through the trouble. It's not your strength, it's His strength, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not you, it's Him. I'm trying to hurry through this page of notes to get to the next. Jesus said, He told these disciples, He said, let us pass over. He said, let us pass over. He didn't say, let us pass away. They come to Him in fear of their life, But remember what he said. He said, let us pass over. They're in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the sea, in the middle of trouble. And they forgot that he said, we're going to pass over. Somewhere in the process of all that, they begin to think we're going to pass away. But he said, let us. Aren't you thankful that he didn't say, let me pass over? Yeah, he didn't say, let me. He said, let us. Let us pass over. We're going to the other side, not to the bottom. It may be an eventful journey to get to the other side, but hold on. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. By no means am I trying to belittle the size of the storm, the severity of what they went through. In fact, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's accounts, you find words like a great tempest or a great storm of wind, or that the ship was covered with the waves, or the ship was now full, or it was filled with water, or that they were in jeopardy, or the waves beat into the ship. Now, seasoned sailors, fishermen whose whole lives had been spent upon that lake, they cried out with fear, Master, save us, we perish. It's one thing to be a novice and a rookie and be hugging on to the mast in the middle of the boat because you don't like water and because you're being motion sickness and all. It's another thing when the captain of the ship is scared to death. It was very, very bad. Jesus was teaching them to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. My faith is not of this world, the things that I can see, because what I can see might try to affect what I believe. But what I see or what I hear in this life, it doesn't affect, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't alter who I put my trust in. None of that stops God from being God. Well, let's clap our hands this morning and give the Lord some praise. It's almost 11 o'clock. If you're taking medicine, now's a good time to take it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'll share this with you because I'll just be plain honest and vulnerable with you. As I was praying the other day, trying to get my mind wrapped around what I believe the Lord wanted to do, these next few thoughts just started coming to me. And I prayed and I felt the Holy Ghost come in prayer room, my office, and I begin to take great comfort with, I believe I've got the direction and the word for the Lord tomorrow morning. And then I went and laid over and I began to pray a little bit more. And the next thing I knew, I was asleep. Anybody else honest enough to say you fell asleep while praying before too? Everybody that didn't raise their hand, you haven't probably prayed long enough yet. Well, glory. We may just change sermons altogether. I just fell asleep and woke up and still had this burning inside of me. I thought, well, he gives his beloved rest. Yeah, he does. He gives his beloved rest. This is what I begin to feel in prayer yesterday of this story. I know that some today have heard this preached 40 times. But there's someone in this house maybe that's never heard it before. And if you've heard it 40 times, you need to hear it 41 times. This is the revelation. This is the understanding that God began to put into my heart yesterday, that there are only some revelations that can come in the storm. There's just sometimes you got to go through it before you can even talk about it. This experience with Jesus progressively began to show them where their trust had been. When Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, they gladly got in the boat. We find no record of them asking why. It's one of our favorite words, why. And it kind of sounds like that sometimes in the spirit. You may have this great intellectual, articulate voice. Why? But it really sounds like, why? I mean, he's God. He knows what he's doing. And when we stop and we question him, we ask, are you still God? It's Monday. I know you're God on Sunday, but are you God on Monday? I know you're God on the land, but are you God in the sea? They never ask why. They just climb in a boat and they take off. And when they took off, they had trust in the boat. They trusted the boat would float. And then when the storm begins to come, they begin to trust in themselves. We've seen worse than this. We've been out here many a times fishing, and we've seen it bad, and we've been able to manage it. Pull down that sail, Pete. Andrew, grab an oar. Be careful here. Tie that down. They started trusting in themselves. It became something of an automatic experience that they've lived. The boat wasn't where they were trusting at that point. They were trusting in their knowledge and the fact they've been there and done that. But friend, what happens when the storm don't stop at the place you're used to it stopping? That's what Jesus sometimes wants to let happen for us. Not that he gets joy out of our suffering by any chance, but he was helping those people understand that day. You can trust in a boat as long as you want. You can trust in yourself as long as you want. But the revelation is, friend, trust in Jesus, and you don't have to worry about the boat. You don't have to worry about yourself. Trust in Jesus. It took the raging of the storm to correct the location of their trust. Because the longer it waged and raged on, the more they begin to realize we're not going to get through this without something bigger and better than ourselves. We're all guilty of trusting in our job. We're all guilty of trusting in connections or family and friends, resources, our skills, our talents, you name it, we're all guilty at some time of trusting in that. But the storm, it'll strip you of ill-placed trust and it'll provide a reset. So we will trust in the one who will never fail. I would rather trust in the one who controls nature than something affected by it or someone affected by it. The disciples allowed their faith and trust to abide in things temporal when the eternal was on the boat with them. And so I ask you, is Jesus on your boat this morning? Just because my mode of transportation is having issues, my vehicle of faith should never waver. Hallelujah. And so when it's all said and done, the revelation that these disciples get is, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. What manner of man is this we've been following? They couldn't ever know the next depth and the next level, the next place of revelation, until they went through something. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8 is talking about the bigger picture of salvation. But when you just dive right into the middle of verse 3 and take off from there, you find something we need to hear this morning. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or endurance, and patience or endurance experience, and experience hope. The only way you can have hope is you first have to go through something. In verse 5, it says it's a hope that maketh not ashamed. It is a hope that does not disappoint. Because it's not a hope in horses or chariots. It's not a hope in money. It's not a hope in doctors or lawyers. It's not a hope in any of those things. It's a hope in God and God alone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Revelations 12 and 11. fact, musicians, come and help us this morning. Revelations 12, 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Notice victory over Satan requires sacrificial, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to have that applied to your life in baptism in Jesus' name. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. Thank God for the blood. That's a mosquito's favorite song. Thank God for the blood. There is power in the blood. Mosquitoes, that's what they buzz and hum when they're around you. Victory over Satan requires the blood, but it also requires your testimony. You play an active part in your salvation. Testimony. Testimony. You must go through before you can go in. A testimony. It's a word connected to that of a witness or evidence. It's a place in your walk with God where you did not quit. You did not turn around. You did not jump ship. You did not lose your mind. You held on to God and you kept enduring until you endured until the end. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I plan on trusting in Him the whole time. Jesus was asleep on a ship. These men are scared to death. They're going to die. And no doubt going through their mind is the question. How can you sleep at a time like this? Jesus, laying there on a pillow. How he could sleep. At least says he was very tired. And as a man, he was subject to everything you've ever been subjected to. But as God, he was asleep on the back of that boat in the man of Jesus Christ because he was trusting in his own word. Let us go to the other side. Y'all worry about the storm if you want to, but I'm gonna take a nap. Jesus, where he found the pillow, maybe Jesus boarded the boat with the pillow. Maybe they forgot the fact that he got a pillow somewhere, and here he comes strolling on the boat. The whole time knowing there's a storm coming, but knowing it's not going to affect his sleep any. And some of you want to toss and turn all night long, worried about this and worried about that. And if you could find Jesus in your mind's eye, I submit to you, you wouldn't find him worried too much about anything. But he'd still have that pillow handy nearby and say, you know what? It's a good storm to sleep through. It's a good storm. So when you go through a storm, don't cry out in fear and worry and woe. Find yourself a pillow and say, I'm going to go lay down by Jesus. Because God's got this. God's got this. And we got a lot of people in this house this morning that several of us know of issues and situations and trials and tribulations you're going through right now. But I also know there's some that I know about that no one else knows about. And there's some in the house that I don't even know about. And there's some you hope nobody ever finds out about. Just curious, is there anybody here this morning? To be honest enough, you don't have to say what it is, but just raise your hand and say, I'm going through a storm right now, and I really... And come here, Sister Glaze. Come here, Sister Glaze. The first one I see, raise the hand in the air. There's people in this house this morning. This is what I felt in the Holy Ghost that we needed to do. Sister Glaze, here's your pillow. Is there anybody else in the house this morning going through something? Brother O'Neill, why don't you come up here? I may be going through it. I may be in it, but I'm going through it. I'm not stopping here. I'm not going to lay down and die here. I'm going to take some comfort this morning that God's got this. Is there anybody else in the house? Come here, Brother Jones. Come here, Brother Jones. Why don't you come up here and take some comfort this morning? I preached a few Wednesday nights ago about the God of all comfort. I just believe this morning the Holy Ghost wants to do a work today. Come on, who else? Who else is going through it right now? Come on, who else is going through it right now? Come on, Arthur. This is for you today, sir. This is a message for you today. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. That's it, Sister Debbie. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're a liar, devil. If my God's not worried, if my God's not afraid, why am I going to be afraid? I will not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, God. Oh, yes, God. Go ahead. There's only one left if somebody needs it this morning. There's the hand and the power and the touch of the Lord today. What manner of man? He's a man like no one else. He's a man like no one else. Oh, God, come on, come on. Come on, I want this pillow to always remind you God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Oh, yes. Here you go, Lana. Oh, God. Hear me today. God's more real than that pillow you're holding. God's more real than the hand you feel on your shoulder today. God's more real than the storm you're going through.